traffic's a little bit slow.
Right.
Okay, so we've been discussing the halachas of tzedah. So just point out a few points here. There's, the Mechaber says in Siv Beis, we're talking about Siman Shin Tes Zayin, Siv Beis, Hatzad Tzvi Yashen Osuma. If a person traps a deer which is asleep or blind, Chayev. That is in a Siddharaisa. I mean, even though the deer is in a situation now, or a condition, a position where we might say he can't escape because he's asleep. And when he's asleep, it's much easier to trap him. Or if he's blind, so he can't see that if a person is coming to grab him. So one might have said that that type of an animal is already considered nitzod. He's already half trapped, enough so that min haTorah, there's no issur to actually apprehend him, because I don't know if you say apprehend by an animal, to actually grab him and take hold of him. There's no problem because he's halfway there himself. No, it's chayev. So why is he chayev? Well, let me just first say this. In contrast to chigar or chol, if it's a lame animal that itaki can't get away very much, he could get away, he could still move around, but not very swiftly. And like the Mishnah describes, you'd be able to get him, talking about that he's sufficiently lame that you'd be able to catch him in one try wherever he is. Or chola, and chola, the Gemara has different pshatim with chola, but the stam chola here means that he's basically he's like running a fever or that type of a thing, and where he just it doesn't well, one second. We'll just see the Mishnah Berurah says on chola. In the Berlach, oh chola. This is the Gemara Esakasha, Vatanya chola chayev. We learned that a bris chol is chayev. Moshein lo kasha kam becholam machbus eshta kam becholam chola machbus uftzina. Eshta means like having a fever. The word eish, like he's burning up. He has a fever. The other way is machbus uftzina, that which he says the taich is ayefus. So really, that's maybe the more push-up shot here. That it's machmas hayefus that he can't get away, too easily. Okay, so
which one's which? Which chayla is worse than the other?
Well, we say the hayefus makes him less capable of escaping. Actually, he might have a fever or something, but if he sees danger in his way, he could still pounce, perhaps. Whereas if it's eshta, means that the whole chayla is the fact that he's very shach. He's very schwach, so even if he's in trouble, but he just doesn't have the koach to escape. So the question, so those cases, taka potter, midaris, there's no say than that, because it needs to be omit. So then what's the difference if it's, why is Yashin sleeping? It can't get away at all, you would think, until it's too late. So there we say no. So the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, that the Hesber is that in Sivkan Zayin, Dahani, these types of animals, when they're just sleeping or blind, darkenly hishame kishimargishin yad adam. There, it's it, when if they feel somebody trying to encroach upon them, then they'll run away, jump up and try to get away, and therefore it's considered say the mamish. It's not like the case where he's lame; he just can't. He's physically incapacitated. He can't run fast. So he's at the mercy of the person who's catching him, who's hunting him. But this he can. He's not so alert now. But as soon as you try to get him, he'll immediately become alert. Now the Mishnah Berurah in Tess says that Mishnah Berurah in Sivkatan Vav Hatzad Tzvi says who didn't sharminim, and he quotes him in the Rabbi. Not just the Tzvi. It's the same thing is true by other types of animals. The Eliyahu Rabbah really has a tzad not like that. He has a tzad to say this davka by tzvi, because the Gemara says that a tzvi, when he sleeps, he sleeps with one eye open. He's always on the lookout. He's always being cautious. But lav davka by other animals, that they have that characteristic. But lemais, the maskan is not that way. That even by all of them, it's the same halacha be chayev. Okay, so now it was because of this halacha, something I mentioned the shir on Shabbos. A number of gedolim say that if you have an animal where the whole species is the type that can't really run away from a human being, can't escape being captured by a human being who's hunting them, so then there should be no tzeda. There should be no tzeda. This, because if we're saying here a tzvi that normally can get away, just that this particular tzvi happens to be lame or he's ill and therefore he can't. Well, there's a third case of Zakin. It's old and it just doesn't have the energy anymore to run very fast. So that takes away the din d'oraisa, even though this min is a min that could escape, but this particular one can't. So the Torah doesn't call that seida. They're a bananaser because other members of that species can get away. But if you're going to say that, so then if you have the whole species can't get away, you have things that are very slow moving like ants or worms or other types of or Rosh Shlomo Zalman says turtles. That they can't get away. They're very slow moving. That's their whole species. It's characteristic of the whole species that they can't escape. They can't run. So there should be no tzeid altogether. Not even me, the Rabbanan. This is what Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, and he brings a support from a Tosis Rid. Tosis Rid in Maseches Chagiga says this as well. That there's no tzeid on things like a snail, which can't escape. He brings there this Rabbi Yerucham seems to say the opposite, that there is it's a tzarchian, but Minadini seems to still remain with his impression and his understanding that there's no tzeda on something like that. There's no tzeda whatsoever. But that doesn't mean all bugs, right? Like take a cockroach. A cockroach could put up a pretty good, give you a run for your money. Right, so on that there would be say now it's ein b'mino nitzo, so it won't be a din d'oraisa, but there is an issa d'rabbanan to tzad even something which is ein b'mino nitzo. So, what poskim say though you could do is you can catch it on a piece of paper. It's not that we said this. I forget. I got confused on what we said last week. I said on Shabbos, but you could catch it on a piece of paper or something like that. Or have it, crawl onto a piece of paper and then lift the paper and carry it to someplace that out of your house or something if there's an Erev. Because that's not Seda. It's not trapped. It's not trapped at all. It could kill, could not only could it run around the paper, but could also jump off.
Is there Muksa? Did it have Muksa?
Okay, so that's a good question. So the reason why Muksa wouldn't apply Lachar would be either because by something like a cockroach, it's what we call a Graf Shel Rei. It's something despicable and repulsive. What is it?
It's the epitome of Rashi.
Okay, there you go. So, and the other svara though, why perhaps muksa would not be a impediment here, is that you're not moving it directly. You're not moving it b'yadayim. You're moving it indirectly. It's called tiltal idei davar acher. And tiltal idei davar acher is mutter letzorech davar hamutter. It's mutter when your kavana is not for the muksa. You're not moving it for muksa. You're moving it for non muksa. So here I'm moving it for my own desires and that my family members shouldn't be disgusted by it or disturbed by it, or the house shouldn't be the serenity and the beauty of the house shouldn't be diminished at all. So I'm doing it for that. So that's perhaps also could be a reason why. It's not an issue of muksa, and but to kill it, for example, on Shabbos, you can't do that. You can't do. You can't kill a cockroach on Shabbos, as much as you would want to do so. But it's and killing it is by killing. Also, we don't even have a concept of ein b'mino nitzo, which. By trapping, we said if this species is not typically trapped, so it reduces it to a derabanan in the worst case scenario. But by killing, there's no such thing. Any species a person kills, he's chayiv. If it's a well, later we discuss in Shabbos, as long as it's something that's para varava, something that comes about through regular, you know, procreation. It's male and female. But even if it's the type of thing that people don't kill to have, the only thing is when you're killing it to get rid of it, it's a malach hashem tzrich l'gufa, right? The killing in the Mishkan was done because they needed the body part. They needed the hides of the rams, for example. They needed their hides to put to cover the Mishkan, or they needed other components of the animals. So that's why they did. That's why they did, you know, shechita. That's why they shechted the bakai. And in Melo, that's the gufa malacha. If you're doing it just because you don't want it, I'm not slaughtering this cockroach because I want to use any of his parts for anything. I just want to get rid of him. And if he would disappear on his own, I'd be just as pleased. But since he's here, and I don't want him here, so I might be killing him. So it is a din derabanan. It is a din derabanan, but it's not mutter. It's still not mutter to kill it. And it's not mutter to trap it either. Not but to the traffic. The eights would be what we said to, you know, maybe to get on a piece of paper or something like that. Okay. It's brought in the name of Rabbi Yashiv that based on this halacha that says that if it's, we'll be one step before. There's a bir halacha here that wants to know lefi with that which Rashi's pshat in chola, that it's it's shvach and it's weak, right? That's the case that's considered there's no issur midrash of trapping. So what happens? The Bir Lachem wants to know. This is in the Dibur Maschil, which starts Ochola, but it's many lines down. Where you're 20 lines down, so he says when it's tadin it's tapakti. What happens if you make a balchai into that matzav? You wound the balchai so that he can't. Now he's a chigur, or you make him that the balach is talking. I keep confused. The balach is talking about. Let's say I chase after a balchai. I chased after it. There's a deer, and I give it a run for its money, and to the point where it gets all exhausted and it just collapses. It collapses out of exhaustion, and then instead of going ahead and grabbing it, I let it be. I just run after it and I get it to be all tired out. And then when he collapses out of exhaustion, I walk away. So Bir Lachem wants to know, is that seida? On the one hand, you would might say that's not seida. Seida is grabbing it, either grabbing it or confining it, locking it up in a place or closing it up in a place where it can't get out, or grabbing it and putting a net over it, catching in a trap. That's seida. But if I just get it to be shvach and he can't run, but I walk away, why is that seida? But he says, but maybe it is, because it says over here that if it's already in that matzav, it's not called seida min haTorah. If you have an animal that can't run away because he's too tired, even if he could move a little bit, but he can't really escape from you effectively because he's too tired. So there's no seida midaraisa, because midaraisa is considered trapped already. So if I brought him to that matzav, I'm the one who tired him out. I didn't chop him, and I didn't confine him in a box or anything, or even in a room, but I did get him to be in the matzav of like chola or zaken. I got him to a point where he can't run. So
is it like an indirect maisel? It's you didn't. What did you do to him directly? You ran after him. You didn't
But if I do that to trap it, I'm chayv. Like for example. Let's look for a minute at the Ramot. The Ramot Beis said, "Hamashasa kelev achachaya b'Shabbos." If a person sends a dog after a chaya to chase it, havit seida, that's considered seida. And so the Mishnah Berurah in Yud says that's talking about even if you didn't do any ma'aseh yourself, you just sent the dog to chase it and to grab it. Is it seida deraisa? Is it seida deraisa? L'chor it is, yeah. If you send the dog after it to actually trap it, and, you know, to grab and trap it, then and you're behind it. Yeah. So let's see what he says. He says, "V'masa ba'atzmo gam kei ma'is lezeh, gugon shabar chatzvim in a kelev, if you're gay, for Yehuro the Vakra Visigo Calvin is there, have it say the Gemara. Have it say the Gemara. So, 1 second. So, it sounds like he's making it that the other form is only the Rabbanon. Let's see, does he say Mefurish? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He says, he says, Durban, look at the beginning of the Sivka Jud. Im loas a basma maisa klau rak bimasha shisas a kelev, va kelev tfaso, havarak tse de mi drabana. Vim asa maisa basma gamkein maisa, zekigot shabarach at swim in a kelev, va yo yivigea, va yo who rode the vacher visigo a kelev? I deza have it said the Gemara. And he says, afilo rak omed bifanov, even if you just, you know, blocked him and got him confused and unable to, you know, you slowed him down a lot and then the dog was able to catch up with him and grab him, then that's also tzeid avigamkin told the tzeid umachayev. That would be a doraisa. Okay, so if you're involved personally, not just by sending the dog, but you're involved, you run after it so the dog can get it, or you block it so the dog can get it, that's tzeid the doraisa. If you just send the dog after it, that's tzeid the rabbanon. So, so why is that? Because you were asking, you're saying it's like sort of indirect or something. But you see, it's said it could be by, you know, if you just run after it and you through that the dog is you tire it out and the dog is able to grab it. That's say the deraisa because you were mishtatif in it. So the mishnah wants to know, maybe if there's no dog and you don't grab it, you just run after it until it collapses. Until it gets exhausted that it can't escape anymore. So maybe that's also tzeid because I did it. I didn't. It wasn't just incidental or something. I ran after the thing so that he could no longer escape. But maybe not. Or maybe that's not derech tzeid. Derech tzeid is when you take it and grab it. It's not tzeid just to get it to be tired so it can't run and then say yishkai have a nice Shabbos and walk away. Tzeid is when you eventually walk away with your prize. Okay, so he's masupik about that. Okay, so based on that, though, based on the suffix of the Mr. Biralach, where he has the tzad to say that that is an iser, so they bring from Eliashiv, he wants to say same thing. It would be, let's say, if you make an animal lame or a bug, let's say there's a flying bug and you swat it with something, so now, and you injure it. You don't kill it, so you're not open until Shem, but you injure it. So now we can't get around much. And you know,
there's no iser in injuring me?
But you say, that's I'll Well, chabal or something. Well, no, because I mean, like you're not breaking any bones or something. It's a little bug. It's a fly or something. I don't think. You're not drawing any blood. And,
it's a bug, but for a behemoth,
for a behemoth, yes. If you injure it, you call internal bleeding. That's entails the shama, the rice. But if they're a bug where there's no blood or anything, a fly or something like that. So, what Rabbi Yashu is saying, according to the way he's quoted, is that if you injure it so that now it can't get away, can't get away from you, even if you don't touch it, you're not. I don't want to fly. I just don't want it flying around. So I swat it, and now it got injured, and it falls to the ground, and it could only limp, or whatever it is. That perhaps that's tzeda. Or even if you hit it so that it's like temporary, even if it doesn't get injured, but it temporarily gets knocked off kilter. You know, because you hit it with a fly swatter or a towel or something, so it gave it a big shaking up, and now it can't effectively get away, at least for a little bit, for a time, even temporarily. Perhaps that would also be an issur tzeida. Okay, if you kill something, this I mentioned on Shabbos. I know if you kill something, many poskim say that's not tzeida. It's Nitzel's Neshama, but it's not Seda. They bring a quote from Eliashiv that it is Seda. That if you kill a Baal Chai in Shabbos, you're not just over killing, you're over Seda. And they say he brought a Raya from a Rashi on the Gemara says in Shabbos that if you take a fish out of water and you just let it you let it remain out of water till it dries up a certain shear till it dries up like a coin's worth in between its fins, then that's considered until Shasham. It's like you killed it. It's considered dead already, and it's like you killed it. But on that Gemara, Rashi says it's talking about you took a fish out of a small area, like a small pond or a fish tank or something, where it was already trapped. So why, so says, according to the what's quoted, what's the point? Why does Rashi say that? What's the difference? The point is that if it's otherwise, you'd be chayiv fitzeda. But when you first take it out of the water and it's still alive, you chayiv fitzeda. And then later, when it eventually dries up, you chayiv fitzeda shamba. But there will be two iser involved. And the Gemara just wants to give us a case where there's one iser involved, only tzeda and nothing else. So therefore, the Gemara says that. That's why the Gemara says that. That's why Rashi says that it's talking that it was already trapped. So Rabbi Yashin said, you see that if you kill something on Shabbos, it's also, you're also over tzeda. But that's what they say he means. But it's lachar sharaya, and they all the svarim ask this on the raya. That's maybe by a fish, because by a fish it is a two-step process. By a fish, it's not considered, by when you first take it out of the water, it's not dead right away. If you would throw it back into water quick enough, you wouldn't be over anything. Mitzad until Sashama. That's why if you trap it, if you grab it in a net or something out of a large area, that can be considered seder, because it's not dead yet. You didn't yet do it until Sashama. Until Sashama is later on when you leave it out of the water. But a different animal, if you shoot an arrow in a deer and kill it, and it dies on the spot, so it's difficult to hear that that's seder. And the chutz, even more difficult to hear that there should be a riot from that Gemara about the fish. So the pashas is, and I mean, it could be it's a misquote from Eliashiv, is there's no reason to think if you see something and it sounds mechudish, you can't be certain that they that he's being quoted accurately. And if it sounds more than mechudish, if it sounds like it's downright wrong, then you could be almost positive that he's not being quoted correctly. Al kalpanim, the killing an animal is according to most posts, is not considered seder. But wounding it maybe not. There's nothing to shama, but then maybe considered seder. Okay, the halacha says later. This is a mishnah. That we know we've been said many times, seder is not only if you grab it, but even if you just close the door and it's in a room, even if we're in a room on its own, and you close the door so it can't get out, you're chayiv. That's sifhei. Tzvi shenichnas l'soch habayis, a tzvi entered the house, v'no'al echo b'fanav, one person secured the door. No, it doesn't necessarily mean he's like locked, because he doesn't have to be locked. The point is just that he closed it in a way that the Mishnah Berurah says, even without a lock, so that the tzvi can't get out. So if one person did that, excuse me, he's chayav. That's the malacha. That's the malacha tzedek. Not the malacha tzedek isn't only that you grab it or that you set a trap for it. The malacha tzedek includes that you lock it up. It went on its own. It just ran into this cabin, and you close the door. You secure the door shut so that he can't open it. And there are no other exit routes for him. There are no open windows or other open doors or anything. That's tzedek. Then it goes on and says, if two people did it, then they're both pater, because that's the rule of shnayim sha'asu. The Gemara teaches us that a person is only chayiv from Melech Shabbos if he did it alone, one person did it, unless it's the type of thing that requires two people. That it's, let's say it would be a door which takes two people to close it. It's such a heavy door, mamish can't close it without someone's help. So then they both be chayiv. If two people do something which is a two-man job, it requires two people, then they're both chayiv. If it only requires one person and two people did it, and either one of them could have done it by himself, then they're both putter. It's still usser, but it's putter, at least putter from a carbon. Okay, and another halacha is, not only if you close the door is that seder, but even if you block the doorway, there's a tzvi in the house, and you say, great, I want to make sure that it stays there till after Shabbos, and you go, and right now there's an open doorway, you go and sit down in the doorway so that he can't get out. You're blocking the doorway. He cannot get past you. That's seder. You're over in this seder. So the question is, what happens if you did it unintentionally? You didn't realize there was a tzvi in the house, and you went and you sat down and you blocked the doorway. So the question is, when you find out there's a tzvi inside, you all of a sudden you hear noises from inside the house, and you look around from your vantage point in the doorway, and you see that there's a tzvi there, and you see there's an animal's trapped now. So the question is, are you mechuyev to move? Do you have to move out of that spot because you're keeping him trapped? By staying there, you are continuing this status of a trapped animal. So do you have to move or not? And you say, look, I didn't like you move.
What? As soon as you block the door, so you're ready, right? So is it a continuing iser?
Very good. So that's maybe somewhat at the root of the question. Pashtus is once whatever you did, and then now it's, let's say you close the door and you walk away. I closed the door, the closing the door was a malach, but I didn't know. I didn't know the tzvi was inside. And I close the door innocently, and then I hear an animal inside. I say, okay, I'm very happy to have that animal. After Shabbos, I would be happy to, slaughter it and have some venison for Malav Malka, or whatever it is. I'd be very happy to do it. So I want to stay here. So, or I want to keep the door shut. Forget about stay here. I want to keep the door shut. I close the door. So why should I have to open the door? I did it already. I did the Malach. I'm not going to... It's not like tshuva. If I open the door, why should that be tshuva? To me, there was shogi, by the way, shogi. Because if he did have been mazed, he knew there was a deer inside, he knows he's not allowed to trap, and he did it anyway, then the Berlach indicates that you're not going to gain anything because it's going to be usher even after Shabbos. Because that's the halacha. If a person does a malacha deraisa, been mazed on Shabbos, like say he cooks himself a piece of chicken on Shabbos, been mazed, then... you can't eat it forever. You can't benefit from that malacha forever. So you wouldn't be able to eat the chicken, and you wouldn't be able to lechara in this case. Maize it. Right, he wouldn't be able to use the tzvi. Pashtus. But if he did a bishogeg, so it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter after Shabbos. So okay, if you'd be continuing the issue now, you wouldn't be allowed to. But let's say, for example, it's in a trap. And it's and you're holding on to the net, and the animal's tugging and tugging and tugging, and he's really trying to get out, and it's only because you're holding on to him. So then maybe you could say that's you're still doing a ma'aseh tzedek, right? Just like if you grab the animal, and now he can't get out, and he's fighting, he wants to get loose, and he can, so he's only needs it because you're continuing to hold him. Right, if you would let go, he's out of here in a second. So lechara, that would be considered an ongoing ma'isa iser. But if I close the door, it's already gatan. It's fire thing. It's finished. I closed it. What more is there to do? Or even if I block the doorway, I block the doorway. But now I'm sitting there. The halacha is that, let's say there was. Let's say there was, when I sat down there, it wasn't Seder. Let's say, for example, there are two people. There are two people, and either one of them is enough to block the doorway. And there was somebody there already. And I go over there on Shabbos, and I set myself up next to him in a way that I'm also blocking the exit of the escape of the tzvi. That's mutter to do, even if you're doing it because you want the tzvi. Because it's completely trapped. Exactly, it's completely trapped. And even if I know the first guy's going to be leaving, so I go and set myself up there before he leaves, so that when he leaves, it'll continue to be trapped by me. That's mutter to do. It's mutter to do. So what should be worse if it's shogeg? If what should be worse if it's shogeg? Okay, shogeg. I didn't realize the deer inside. I sat down and I actually did trap it, but so what? But now it's trapped already. Yet the Birlacha comes out, there's Master and they're showing him that you have to move. That you have to open the door or move out of that spot. So, because, it seems that it's some sort of concept that you're perpetuating the trapping by leaving the door, by leaving yourself in the doorway. You are perpetuating the trapping. You're, even though it can't say it's a numai savera, but it's almost like a savera with multiple parts to it, right?
And what if you close the door also, or just after somebody's sitting?
Very good question. The Birlacha says the case is sitting there, but a number of the freshmen point out that it's both cases, because really, let's see. Okay, a number of the some point this out, that it's lav dafka when you're sitting there. Who when you close the door? Because whatever, but the animal's only trapped because of your maisa, which was a maisa avera. It was a shogi, albeit it was a shogi, but it was a maisa avera. So if it's only trapped because you're maisa avera, so then you're not allowed to continue to, you know, let the avera to continue. If it's something that's not okay, you did it. I mean, okay, you don't have to, you know, you wrote something on Shabbos. You forgot that it was Shabbos and you wrote something down. So you don't have to erase it. I mean, it's what's done is done. So, but here by causing that matzav of trapping to continue and to persist, that's an issue. That's what it seems from the Berlach. What is that?
Continuous Seder.
Continuous Seder, right. Masha ain't came, like I said, the case where there are two people. There are two people and one guy walks away and I'm still blocking the door and he walks away. There's nothing wrong with that. It was done beheter. The difference there was done initially beheter. Right? It was done beheter. When I sat down there, it was already trapped, so I sat down there beheter. So to continue sitting there, even after the first guy leaves, is okay. Now, one second, there's something on this. Not sure. Okay, so, one second here. Okay, so let's just want to maybe say one more halacha here. Machlokas Tosis Yantif and the Magen Avraham. By this case here, it says if one guy's sitting and blocking the Pesach, and now another guy comes along and sits down also next to him in a way that he's also blocking the Pesach, and the first guy leaves, the second guy can stay there totally butter, right? Because he sat down the beheter. But so the Tosis Yantif says it's got to be speaking about when the first guy left. He left like by like going into the house or something. He left in a way that he did not leave the doorway unblocked even temporarily. Meaning, if the first guy to leave, the second guy has got to get up also and move out of the way so the first guy can leave, and then he sits back down. That's a problem, says the Tosafot. That it was untrapped and you retrapped it. So it has to be if the first guy never left an opening. He just, you know, left the scene through a different method. But the Magen Avraham says he doesn't understand that. Doesn't understand what the problem is. Once it's trapped already, then before Shabbos is already trapped, you could open and close the door. Magen Avraham says that's not a bittul of the trapping. The fact that you move away from the Pesach, and then somebody else, the other guy, moves over. That's not a bittul. I mean, his leaving the Pesach is not considered a bittul of the trapping, and therefore, the other guy to sit down there, be mutter. But many disagree with this Magen Avraham, and they bring as far as to say that yes, it would be trapping once the door is open enough for the animal to get out. It would be trapping. So, however, the two things in the Bir Halacha. First of all, he says that even the Magen Avraham would agree to one case. One second. Magen Avraham would agree. Yeah. If you're closing the door with the intention of trapping it, the Magen Avraham is only saying that even if the first guy left the Pesach open, the second guy comes and refills the Pesach and shuts the door, that's mutter, but it's only mutter when he's not doing it for the trapping. He's doing it to protect his house or whatever, but if he's doing it to trap, then he says the Magen Avraham would agree that's usur. On the other hand, the Bir Halacha also says that even those who aser, the Tosfos Yontif, for example, who says it's aser if you left an opening that big enough for the animal to get out, then to reclose it is an iser, but that's only if it's trapped in an area where you could get it with one running. Okay, an area that, again, is considered confined on a Torah level. This animal is considered confined here on a Torah level. But if it's such that it's a big room, even with the door shut or with the door blocked, the animal could still get away, and it would take more than one try for you to get it, then he says there's no iser. If it was already closed beforehand and you open it, there would be no iser to reclose it. That's what the Bir Halacha says, which was itself was an interesting chiddush. But Al Kapanim, in that case, you would, and this is where he goes on and says something I think I mentioned before, that if you buy a new bird, for example, so a bird which is a small bird which is not considered trapped, even in a house, it's not considered trapped. So, but it, I mean, with the Rabbana, it's not considered mentarbis, considered Rabbana. So he says that it's going to be impossible to open the cage on Shabbos. It's going to create an impossible situation because closing it will definitely be considered trapping. So, and in general, he says even if it's an animal, he doesn't specify, but let's say an animal like a dog, which is brand new and he's trying to get out, and when you open the front door, he really wants to get out. So then, for you to block it afterwards would be us. Once you open the door and left it open for even a short period of time, even a very short period of time, it would be us to reclose it. So he says, a word to the wise, don't buy animals on Erev Shabbos. That's what he says. Or at least don't buy them close to Shabbos. Make sure you buy your animal early enough in the week so that he gets broken in, or I guess if it's the type of animal that doesn't break in a week, and it's an animal different than a dog, or an animal tries to get away from you, because otherwise, there's no way to say that it's not, it never tries to get away, but because it's domesticated. But an animal which does try to get away, and you want to be able to keep it, so don't buy it close to Shabbos. Just buy it early enough in the week that you'll have time to train it not to want to leave, or at least to want to come back home when the door's open. At night, make sure you don't buy a brand new animal that you're gonna have to be over in the Siddurisa by closing the door, when reopening and reclosing the door on Shabbos. Okay, let's pause here for now and.